It's Saturday night.
Five.
Saturday night.
Get ready for the Saturday night.
Louder!
Saturday night's alright.
On Saturday night.
Alright, welcome back once again to Dynasty Saturday Night 5. We're live here on your Saturday night. Please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review if you're listening to the Going for Two audio podcast feed. If you're watching us here on YouTube, either live now or later on for a recording, please make sure that you subscribe to the channel, do a little thumbs up on the video, little bell for notifications, make some comments, tell us how wrong we are. It all helps the it all helps your boys and the algorithm. That's what we're all trying to beat, right, is the algorithm and the SEO. I am Brian, as usual, here with my co-host, Josh. Josh, how you doing this week?
Doing good. Tired from everything going on, but I'm happy to be here. I felt like I've taken a while off from doing the show. I'm happy to be back, ready to talk some football. It's good to also not talk just rookies and actually go do my rankings for things not rookies. So that was when I jumped on Fantasy Pros Experts thing, I automatically went to rookies and I was like, wait a second, what am I doing? We're done with this for now. Done, but
You know what? You know, when I was doing Fever, Dynasty Fever with Jesse this week, it's like the second year in a row we were like, all right, like we're kind of tired of talking about rookies now. Let's just have this draft happen and that sort of thing, right? So our logo design contest. I forgot to mention that last time when Josh was not here. Just reminding folks, if you go to my Twitter, FFJunkie_, there's a pinned tweet on my profile and explains everything. You send us a 16:9 ratio JPEG to be our new, you know, YouTube logo and that sort of thing, and our background on our layout here on the thing when we go screen share and all that. And you can win. The winner will get a PLP, a personal league podcast for their Dynasty League. If you want to find out what one is, we just did one last night and it's posted right here on the Going for Two live YouTube channel. We're doing them live this year, so you and your league mates can hop in the YouTube chat while we're humiliating you and ripping apart your dynasty roster.
Telling you how bad your team sucks.
we had some fun last night, you know. Looks like we got some of our regulars and our friends here in the chat. Toronto Dave, Jamie, want to say shout out to you. Thanks for always always checking in.
Absolutely.
So just for those of you who forget or are new to the wonderful world of Dynasty Saturday Night 5, we do lists of five as a way to talk about Dynasty Fantasy Football. And tonight we're doing pre-NFL draft buys. Last week with guest co-host Seth Keller, we did pre-NFL draft sells, right? And so this week we're looking at players to target this week upcoming before the NFL draft comes, right? And so before we do that, let's talk a little bit about a buy, right? Because I think you and I come from the school of everybody's a buy or sell given a certain circumstance, right? So for the purposes of this exercise in defining or looking for a buy for the list for this show, what are some things you're looking for, or some boxes that you want to check for that player to be a buy?
So a few things. The first and most easy answer to this is based on my rankings. I try and look at ADP fairly often, watch people startup drafts, mock drafts, all that. And it's just my rankings based on ADP, where people are going. If I'm like 10 or 12 spots higher, I either try and go maybe, you know, make a trade or realize I might have a good trade window there. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to the other thing is injuries. Someone like a few people I'm going to talk about are coming off injuries. You know, it might not be 100% in 2023, but on a few of my teams I'm not trying to win now, I'm playing more for 2024. There's some really good buy windows on some people who might not be 100% in 23, or if they are, might be a little rusty. And I think people coming off injuries that are still a year away are pretty good buy opportunities, as long as you're not trying to win immediately.
Yeah. I think for me, what I look for is I ask myself a couple of questions. Am I above market on this player? Mm-hmm. Do I mind buying this player at cost? Do I think that's an okay investment, right? Do I think they're undervalued? And do I think whether or not they're undervalued now, do I see a spike coming in value for one reason or another coming up? And so, you know, I guess the guys I'm going to talk about tonight check at least a couple of those boxes when it comes to buys. I tried the best I could to focus on a few players in this list of five that would be sort of that would, you know, be real close to the title, the idea of pre-NFL draft buys, like the idea that, like, because of the NFL draft last week, guys were sells, right? You want to sell them before this draft coming up. I'm trying to pick some guys where the draft plays a role in my calculus of, like, why I'm saying to buy these guys. So, yeah. All right. Today's show is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog has it all. They are the industry leader with huge tournaments, best ball leagues, private leagues, pick 'em, not just NFL, all major sports. You can scratch that itch and draft some best ball teams now. You can do some pick'ems. You can, play some baseball stuff. You do the baseball. They have every major sport. Why am I talking about this? Well, if you sign up at underdog.com and you are a new subscriber, a new account on Underdog, and you use the code GF2 when you deposit, Underdog will match up to $100 of your first deposit. For those of you watching on the video, we have a fancy little QR code right here that you can scan on your screen and take you right to Underdog. And so go to underdog.com or the Underdog app, use promo code GF2, make your first deposit, get a match of up to $100, start playing, and perhaps even start winning. All right. So we've got each of us has our five buys. We did a little bit of notes about sort of where they're at, relative to the community, the market, why we like them, that sort of thing. So why don't you kick us off?
All right. I'm going to start with one of my most rostered players on Sleeper, Deontay Johnson.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to compare 2021 to 2022 because they were drastically different, and I'll point out a few things I think were the cause of that. So in 2021, he had 107 receptions on 171 targets. That's 62.6% catch rate. In 2022, that was down to 58.5. Topped 1,000 yards in 2021 with 8 touchdowns. Only got 882 with 0 touchdowns. Target share was down from 28.8 to 26.8. Basically, all his numbers were down. And one of the main reasons I think that is I think they went from – while Big Ben was not very proficient passing the ball, he's still a veteran quarterback, knows how to read offenses and knows when to find the right players to throw to. And I think he saw Deontay Johnson as a security blanket in ways, able to dump it off to him a lot. And Kenny Pickett just didn't do that. I didn't watch enough games to see if he was just trying to push the ball down the field more often, just miss the open guys. And he wasn't as good as Big Ben was, but I think there is plenty of room for improvement in year two. So I do expect Deontay Johnson to get back closer to the 2021 numbers. I don't know if he'll get 1,100 yards, but I do expect him to get more than 880 and 0 touchdowns. So I expect some good touchdown regression coming. And typically, up until last year, he had one of the higher floors in the NFL. And that's something I oftentimes look for with wide receivers. I don't want the Gabe Davises, the Pickens, even the Mike Evanses, who for 3 weeks in a row could drop 4 or 5 points. I'd rather have someone who's consistently going to get me 12 to 14, even if there's not a 45-point week in there. I'd rather have a higher floor, and he's one of the better players to do that. And I think he'll get back to that next year.
Yeah, I think Deontay's been undervalued and a buy for me for mm-hmm. a while. Excuse me. What do you make of the idea that their acquisition of Allen Robinson could open up them trading Deontay Johnson?
Maybe I've just been burned too many times. I'm just completely out on Allen Robinson. I think George Pickens is even better than him at this point, and I'm not very high on Pickens. Mm-hmm. I think he will be the third receiver there, and I think Deontay Johnson's still going to have his role of not running deep routes, close to the first down line, get you plenty of first downs, and a good third down target to go to. So I'm not really worried that much at all by Allen Robinson going there, especially with Kenny Pickett. I mean, I don't think he's going to sling it around to three receivers and have them all have close to 1,000 yards. So.
Yeah, and one of the things that a friend of the show, Tom Tipple, brought up when he was doing five wide receiver buys a little while back was the difference in fantasy points per game that Deontay had last year of 10.5 and expected fantasy points per game that he had of 14.2. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you, as you said, a TD regression, whatever you want to call it, there's been some bad luck and some wrinkles in the matrix. And, you know, we're expecting an arrow up on Deontay yep. moving forward. So as far as price goes for our listeners and watchers, we have a few trades here that I pulled from DLF Trade Finder and from Fantasy Calc Trade Finder. Anything stand out to you as like, oh, that's a good price? Or what would you be willing to pay, you think, for Deontay?
Deontay for the 111 kind of stands out to me. I think I would make that trade just because the receivers I'm getting at the 111, and this isn't the safest way to go, but that's how I went about it for this, is going to be like Josh Downs or, you know, I would get Zay Flowers early, but he might be there. Quentin Johnson's fell back that far, and I would just much rather have someone who's already proven themselves to be a wide receiver one, borderline wide receiver one, definitely wide receiver two in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So for the 111, if I had the 111, I would take Deontay for it.
Right. And should note that you have him ranked 24th among your yep. wide receivers, and the highest among the other rankings that we pulled is 31. So, you know, it checks that box of that you're above market. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. One down here I see that's kind of silly, which I understand it's super flex, but still, Deontay for Kenny Pickett, I don't think I can make that deal. Even if I needed a quarterback, I think I'd go and try and find a quarterback somewhere else or one I can get for a little cheaper. Like, I feel like I could go get Mac Jones for less than that. I think Mac Jones will probably be better than Pickett next year.
Hmm. It's interesting because I saw that one and I said, am I willing to give up a quarterback and a super flex for my wide receiver too? As bad as Pickett, you know, is relative to some other quarterback.
I think, like you'll talk about later, I think there are some other ones you can go after you can get cheaper than, you know,
Well, you know what? Why don't I start there on, yep. on my list? I'm going to start with a sort of group of players, but I'm going to use one as being representative of those players. So older quarterback twos in your super flex. So guys like Russ, Carr, Goff. I mean, I call him older, whatever he is, like 28, right? But the guy that I pulled as the example of this is Matthew Stafford. I know a lot of people are pretty down on him. I have him ranked 18th. My rankings don't have the rookies in there yet, so he may drop, you know, a couple spots. We'll see. And he's at the top of a tier of quarterbacks 18 to 22. I seem to be well above market. KTC with the rookies mixed in has him at quarterback 33. Dynasty Trade Calculator 28 with the rookies mixed in. Fantasy Pros has the rookies mixed in, but not everybody who feeds into their thing has updated their ranks. So it's kind of weird because, like, one person has Bijan ranked number one, the other person is Bijan ranked number 71. So, but anyway, he's 24 in Fantasy Pros. DLF agrees with me at 18, but DLF ADP, you know, the people doing the mocks, mm-hmm. have him at 26, and in Bulletproof ADP, in drafts that use the kicker placeholders for rookie picks in the startups, he's going in the 10th round at quarterback 25, and right around the closest draft pick to him is the 23-202, right? So I get that Matthew Stafford is not young. I get that there was a rumor that he might have even retired, you know, I get that, you know, the word chronic has been used with his back and his elbow and that sort of thing, right? But he's coming back next year. Cooper Kupp is coming back next year. Sean McVay is their coach. If they tweak the offensive line, you know, listen, even with the offensive line woes and Stafford being old and only, you know, low ADOT last year, Cooper Kupp still was 20 fantasy points per game last year, yeah. Right? And those 20 fantasy points per game were coming from Matthew Stafford's arm, right? So if I can get him for some of the prices that I see here, sure, I'll do it. Now, is this one because of Stafford's age, probably a little more team dependent as far as a win now team? Yeah, maybe. But remember, too, the thing that we do in Dynasty is we sometimes buy guys knowing that the value is going to spike so that we can flip them, right? So this is the type of thing where go see if you can throw a small price out there for Matthew Stafford, right? And then trade him to a contender in season for more than you gave up. So, you know, he's going around the 202 in that bulletproof startup ADP. That, to me, is pretty fair. You know, I know some people would balk at that because it's rookie fever season. But to me, you're getting, what I would think is a solid QB2, maybe borderline QB3 in a super flex economy for, you know, a second round pick. That's not way off for me. We've seen him go here in the list here for 208 for a 24 first. It might be a little rich for my blood.
Yep.
But you know what? If I had a 24 first and like I was like, you know, I don't know, I'm gonna try to win this year. Maybe I've got an extra 24 first, or maybe I asked the person to throw a 24 second on top coming back the other way or something like that. You know, then I might be interested. I pulled another one that I thought was pretty, like P. Ryan, a 23 second and a 23 third for Stafford in a 23 second, right? Like, I mean, listen,
that's a smash.
I know that P. Ryan is underrated, and I think P. Ryan's a buy. I almost put him on my list, right? You know, they're going to rotate backs there even when Javonte is healthy and playing. So, like, but if you can get, you know, potentially your QB2 in a super flex, for if you do the algebra and cross out the 23 seconds, mm-hmm. right? You know, it's essentially P. Ryan in a third. That's what we're looking at here. So now as a seller, different story. I was offered a 24 second for Stafford and I said no. Because my thing is, in season, I think I can probably get more for him once he's on the field throwing a Cooper Kupp, right? And people, you know, and he's scoring points. But so, you know, for me, Stafford is a cautiously optimistic buy, but he's representative of quarterback twos that are useful and falling because people, I think, undervalue certain guys and because of rookie fever with Stroud, Young, and my boy Richardson. Yeah.
No, definitely. I think to get the nail on the head on all those, I think something else, Cam Akers looked like he was back towards the end of the year. So if they can get a little bit of running game to go with it, I think that'll really help the offense overall, because I almost put Cam Akers on my list just because he looked a lot better, more explosive. But I think if I have Stafford, unless I get a first round pick for him, I'm holding until the season starts. Like you said, just let that value drive up. Unless you can go ahead and get a first, then do it, because I think that might be peak what you get anyways. So unless you're getting a first for him, hang on to him.
In 23 rookie picks, what's the line for you? 202 here is where he's going roughly relative to bulletproof startup ADP. 202 I would do. Mm-hmm. Would you go any higher?
No, I think once you get into the first round, that's for right now. I don't think I would. 202 is about, like you said, where, because I have him at 22, so I have him just a few more spots below you, so I'm still pretty high on him. And one I did thing, see a report that said he feels better than he has in a few years, so I don't know what to read into that. Some say he's retiring. He's saying he feels better, so I don't know.
Well, you know, with the 23 rookie picks, as of maybe last week, the week before, I was looking at the late first and early second as sort of this flat tier of players that aren't – I don't like the value there, right? Like, the guys that I get there relative to the capital I have to spend, I don't like it, right? Mm-hmm. But we have a bunch of running backs clustered into the second round right now, right? And so something's going to give. They're going to shuffle a little bit, right? The NFL is going to break them up a little bit in the draft. One or two might leak up a little earlier, And so I might like that 111 or that 201 more than I do now or more than I did last week. So that's something to keep in mind too.
Exactly.
But also, you know, it gives me an opportunity to cheat and do my honorable mention for buys. And that's 24 picks, but particularly 24 firsts, right? You know, if you can turn those 111s, 112s, and things like that into 24 firsts plus, do it. That's always the move to do, right? So who's next on your list?
I'm going to jump to one of my two tight ends. And I'm going to go with – that way I can go and get my Falcons rant over with. I'm going to go with Kyle Pitts.
All right, folks. I'm going to go bake a cake and come back, and Josh will be done with his Falcons
I might be at Arthur Smith by that point. So, yeah, I have him ranked first in Dynasty, which I struggled with. Last year, I admit I had him at second with Kelce first, but it's another year. Kelce's 1 year older. And I'm going to put Pitts back up to one. I hope that they're going to learn how to use him correctly. Most other places have him one. Fantasy Pros has him one. DLF has him first. Keep Trade Cut also has him first. So I'm not as much above market based on the ADP, but just the talks and how most people that I see on Twitter, I guess more like regular people not doing these rankings, have him at third, some even fourth. Some people put Hockenson up above him. I think you're getting pretty good value for him in startups. And I think he's just an elite talent. He got 1,000 yards in his rookie year at a position that rookies typically struggle at, the tight end. He did play a lot of receiver. And I think Jonnu Smith is just going to help him run more routes, going to keep him more lined up in, as a big slot, let Jonnu Smith do some inline blocking because Kyle Pitts isn't good at that. That's not what he's supposed to be doing. So I hope they put him out in space, let him outrun linebackers and safeties, and just show what he's got. And I think the quarterback situation is going to get better. I'm not the biggest Ridder fan, but he's going to improve over year two, hopefully. And if not, I think they're going to go out and get a young quarterback that can grow with Drake London and Kyle Pitts. So I just hope Arthur Smith has a little bit of brain between that big head of his and will use his weapons that they keep spending a lot of draft capital on just to throw 14 times a game. So.
Yeah. Kyle Pitts last year, if you look into the numbers of targets per route run, target share, yards per route run, et cetera, really great numbers when he was on the field, right? And, you know, honestly, same thing with London, although some of those numbers were helped by Pitts' absence. So those are the two guys where the passing game is really going to run through. The question is just going to be what's the overall volume in Atlanta's passing game, right? You know, it's tough to really think about like a almost consensus tight end one as a buy, but chances are he's cheaper right now today than he's going to be in a few months, right? He's going to be on the field, he's going to be scoring points, and you know, his price is going to go up. Yep. In fact, you know, I just saw what's his name, Tyler Justin Karp. Posted his top 10 dynasty tight ends, right? And Pitts was one. And he was retweeting some of these dumbass responses that he was getting from people. I don't know if you saw any of those. Like, just, you know, people are undervaluing Pitts. So there's a good chance that the Pitts manager in your league might take a price that you'd be comfortable with. So what is a price that Josh would be comfortable with paying for Kyle Pitts?
I think I'd give up a 24 first. I'll just preface this by saying I don't value 24 picks as much as I probably should, especially and 25 picks, because in my brain I feel like I have a full season to maybe get that pick back. But I need to readjust that. I need to start trying to acquire more 24 first, so I'm a lot happier the next year. Yeah, I would give up a 24 first. I'd obviously try and do a second and then maybe one of my bench players. But 24 first is about as far as I'd go. Rookie pick, 23. I actually might do late first because Michael Mayer's going around there, and I think Pitts is just a lot better than Michael Mayer. So 24 first, any of them, and late first after 08, 09 for 23. Anything before that, there's a chance I can get a quarterback, JSN or Jahmyr Gibbs. So once you get past that little tier, the second, first and second tiers and running backs and receivers, that's when I'll start trying to get Pitts.
I'm looking at this here, and a list of targets per route run and weighted targets per route run by Ben Gretsch, who a lot of people like when it comes to this data stuff, right? And so anything above, what was it, 0.22 on targets per route run, and anything, oh, I'm sorry, anything over 0.25 for targets per route run, meaning targeted on 25% of their routes, and anything above 0.65 for weighted targets per route run, however that's determined, is good, right? Pitts is 0.27 and 0.75, so he's above above both marks in 2022. He's a buy, right? He's a buy, yeah.
Yeah, and the people talking on Twitter, that's mainly what I meant by based on rankings and stuff like that. I'm not that above market, but based on the word I'm hearing on Twitter and even a bunch of dynasty leagues I'm in with my brother, he has Kyle Pitts because he's a bigger Falcons homer than I am. He's even trying to get rid of him at this point. So I think the panic's starting to set in.
All right. So friend of the show, Julia, checking in, welcoming back Josh and asking our resident Atlanta fan, would you bet on Atlanta winning the division? It's a bad division. It's pretty wide open.
No, depending on how the draft goes, I might be singing a different tune. I think the Panthers have got some weapons on their team with a pretty good defense, depending on who they – I mean, they're probably going to take Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. I kind of like them. The Buccaneers, they don't have Kyle Trask. Not worried about them. But the Saints are also always beat us even when we're better than them. And I kind of like their offense they put together. So I might change my tune after the draft if we go out. So it depends what we do with our first round pick, honestly.
If you but get right B, now, if you I'm get Bijan no. at 108, what are you going to do?
That's what I'm going to be torn on that. I don't want to spend that much capital on a running back, but at the same time, and that'll hurt one of my favorite players, Tyler Algier. Definitely kill his value. But I don't think it would be the worst move because Arthur Smith does run the ball a lot.
Yeah.
But I do also think that might hurt the pass catchers also. I'm going to be even more upset if they get Will Levis. Like, if they draft Will Levis in the first round, I'm going to find a new team to root for.
Yeah. I think at that point, you know, if you didn't, I would have an intervention with you. you know, but all right. So the next guy on my list, you know, I'm going to go with Antonio Gibson. The thinking, the narrative, right, is that B-Rob isn't much of a pass catcher. You know, we heard coming out of college, you know, that he had capable enough hands, a well-rounded enough skill set, you know, not a liability in the passing game, but nothing that you're going to, like, target to use, right? And we saw in Washington that they didn't really use him that way. All signs point to they're not bringing J.D. McKissic back this year. In fact, I heard he might even retire because of the injury, right? So here's my calculus with Gibson. I'm betting that he comes out on the other side of the draft okay, right, as far as whatever running back they add isn't going to be, like, you know, a threat to his pass-catching role, right? And even if – he doesn't come out on the other side of the draft okay, the price you're paying isn't very high, right? So, yeah, Jamie's saying in the chat right now that, you know, that Gibson is crazy cheap. So I've got him ranked running back 33 before I put the rookies in. KTC has him at 35 with the rookies in. Dynasty Trade Calculator at 42. Fantasy Calc at 43. Those are also with the rookies in. Fantasy Pros and DLF are a little closer to me, 34 and 31. Bulletproof ADP is at 33. He's going in the end of the 12th round with the close to the 207. I am guessing there are a number of leagues where you can get Gibson for less than the 207. I saw him go straight up for the 207. Would you trade Jacoby Myers to get back Antonio Gibson in a third round pick?
Yeah, I'd really like Jacoby Myers, but I would almost do it just to get Antonio Gibson. But you throw the third on there, yeah, I think I would take that because Antonio Gibson just looked so much better than Brian Robinson on every aspect. I think he looked better running and catching, but they just – I don't know what they were doing.
And this one, excuse me, what's it like just occurred today, actually, the 22nd. Gibson and a 24-second for Pacheco, who was one of my sells last week, and a third, 24-third. If you're telling me I can ship Pacheco in a 24-third and get Gibson in a second back, some mash, right? Yeah. Because what we're looking at here is the value bump likely, even if it's small, is a value bump likely? I think so. In my calculus, yes. And if there is no value bump, was the acquisition cost low that you didn't burn a lot? I would say yes. So that all that to me makes Gibson a pretty sneaky buy at this point. So yeah, that's what I'm going with Ed Gibson as one of my buttons.
Yeah. Yeah, you upgrade your pick and in a way upgrade your running back. So
Jamie, that sounds like one of my steals. Listen, folks, if you've been in the Going for Two Discord and seen some of the trades that Jamie's pulling on, listen, if Jamie's league mates are watching, like, y'all should be ashamed of yourselves, what you're letting this guy get away with. So this is my public service announcement. If you see big game games
I was just gonna say.
in your sleeper league, he's a thief, and don't let him continue his crime spree. Gosh.
Hey, in the startup we're doing, I'm going to lobby for a rule where Jamie can only make one trade a year.
You know what? I have a feeling that there's not a lot of people in there going to let Jamie get away with this bullshit.
That's true.
You know, we'll see. So who's your next? Who's your next buy?
Real quick, I want to touch on. I saw Julia made a comment. We were saying the opposite about Will Levis. I do not want the Falcons to draft Will Levis. I think.
Oh right.
I would much rather have Hendon Hooker than Will Levis. But yeah, I just want to clear that up for Julia there. Yeah, I'm gonna go with. Let me see where I'm at. I'll go with Wandale Robinson here on this one. Mm-hmm. And this is just one where I'm above market on, and most of the reason is injury because he's coming off an ACL tear. So I have him at 36 in my ranking, so right at the cusp of wide receiver three, or wide receiver three, wide receiver four. Keep Trade Cut has him at 49. Fantasy Pros has him at 48. And DLF at 47. And I think a lot of that is baking into, one, future injury risk, but also him not being 100% in 2023 like we've seen. I think he'll be on the field, but a lot of people don't gain their full explosion, such as J.K. Dobbins, until a whole year. So 2024 is when I'm looking to be at his peak. But even then, even if I'm not in a win now or not a win now, I'm still going to go out and try and buy him because he's only 22 years old. Demands a lot of targets, even in college. He has really, really good ability with the ball in his hands. He had a lot of rushing yards in college. I was very surprised to look at that. So I think teams can find ways to use him. I think he's going to be a great slot receiver. You can line him up in the backfield, hand the ball off to him, and he will make a lot of people miss, make a big play. Yeah, I'm a sucker, as you can see, with Deontay Johnson for target share. Yeah. Guys who demand the catch to get the ball and guys who need to get the ball for their offense to be good. And I think he fits right into that. He's a little undersized, but that hasn't been an issue. He's extremely tough and a really good competitor.
Any of these prices stand out to you as something that you would do?
Honestly, I love Chig, but I usually am not as high on tight ends as others. So I would trade Wandale for Chig. I would trade him for the 211. If I had the 211, I would trade that for Wandale.
Yep.
I'd much rather have him than any of the people you're getting there. At that point, I feel like it's kind of dart throws.
Wandale in a fourth for Alan Lazard?
Oh, easy. I'll do Wandale for Lazard straight up.
What? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. The one I don't know if I would do, if I had DK Metcalf, I don't think I would trade Wandale on a 108. I think DK is also someone who's been a little bit undervalued. And I think he's still a top 10 wide receiver.
Let me ask you a question. Would you give up I didn't see exactly which pick it was. Would you give up DK a second and a third? DK a second and a third for CD Lamb?
No, I would. I have CD Lamb ranked, I think, fifth. I think I'd rather have DK in the picks.
Me too. I turned it down. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just didn't fit what I was trying to do. Like
it's not a bad trade offer. Like it's fair, but no. I don't think I would accept that either.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. All right. Yeah. I mean, some of these are you know, I mean, 23 for, if you could send Breece Hall, like, I know we love Breece Hall, mm-hmm. but I don't know where that 23 first is, but Wandale, say it's like a high first, and Wandale for Breece, and maybe you're a team that, I don't know, can afford to, you know, not have Breece, or don't, or you're win now, you don't want to wait for his second year after the ACL thing. Yep. That's borderline. I think I might keep Breece there, but I mean, but that's kind of what you're
if
looking
it,
at.
If it's above 107, do I know, like I said earlier, I can get a JSN, you know, one of the top guys in the top tier two and, or a quarterback, I would definitely probably do that.
One thing I do want to ask you, devil's advocate, they have 17.3 slot receivers now on the Giants. What do we make of that, and does that make you second guess Wandale at all?
No, that's kind of how they've been. They've always had, you know, Shepard, Tony, all these guys who outside of Kenny Golladay, who was out there doing the walking routes. Outside of that, I'm not really worried about it. I think he's better than most of the guys they got.
Yeah.
I think he's still going to play the slot. And the fact that he's so elusive and so good with the ball, you know, they can do some gadget plays, hand the ball off to him sometimes too. So I think he's not going to have a hard time staying on the field.
Yeah, when I wrote up Paris Campbell as a sneaky buy for one of our collaboration articles, part of my calculus was that, it's going to free up Wandale to be used a little more creatively, mm-hmm. you know.
Yep.
And so, you know, we'll see what they do from there.
Yeah, that's just on the Giants to use them correctly at this point.
So, you know what? I guess I'll pop over to wide receivers. And so I'm going to do a thing like I did with Stafford. Like, I'm going to use one person as representative of a group. So the group that I'm looking at here is young wide receiver twos on their team, not necessarily fantasy wide. Young NFL wide receiver twos who I think are going to come out on the other side of the draft okay or better, right? And who might be undervalued at the time, right? So who am I thinking of? I have question marks next to Darnell Mooney and Elijah Moore. But Van Jefferson entered the conversation, I think, now when they got rid of Allen Robinson, right? Khalil Shakir in Buffalo, because the people they brought in as free agents, they say they're very satisfied with them, but they're very satisfied with Trent Sherfield and I'm blanking on the other person they brought in for receiver. But again, I don't think they're big threats to Khalil Shakir's role in the slot. They got rid of Isaiah McKenzie, and you know, Gabe Davis isn't, I mean, you hate Gabe Davis, right? He's not consistent enough to really be the wide receiver too. Shakir could really have a breakout year.
Yep.
I'm putting Jahan Dotson in the mix here, but he's starting to get into that tier of receivers where it's kind of like pick your poison. But the guy I'm going to highlight is Alec Pierce of the Colts. A big and athletic prospect last year, and it's really hard to judge his 2022 because he did flash, but the Colts were a dumpster fire last year. And so, you know, trying to put that in context, I see the Colts probably drafting a quarterback, right? And having a new coach and a new system, JT back healthy. They improved the offensive line a little bit. And the thing is, all these receivers, besides, you know, Pierce specifically being helped by what the Colts might do in the draft with a quarterback, and them only bringing in Isaiah McKenzie as the slot, is that this receiver class isn't great.
Yep.
Right. Like I like it a little more than some other people. I think it's somewhat deep, right? But it's deep in the sense that, like, you know, I'm looking at solid guys, not really good guys, right? Like JSN, you know, love him. And then, you know, we have some question marks about everybody after him, right?
Yeah, there's every person has something you can pick at him.
Yeah. And so the idea here is that I don't think the NFL is putting much stock in this draft class as far as wide receivers go. I don't think any of these guys are going to be all that threatened by receivers coming in the NFL draft. So you lump that in with him getting perhaps Anthony Richardson, perhaps Will Levis, as much as, you know, I mean, it would be better than what they had last year.
Yeah.
You know, Sam Ellinger running around, right? Like, so I have him ranked 40th. I haven't put the rookies in yet. And he's in a tier of wide receiver 35 to 44. KTC has him at 55 with the rookies mixed in, but 55. Dynasty Trade Calculator, 47. Fantasy Calc, 59. Fantasy Pros, 52. DLF, 44. The ADP for DLF, Mox, and Superflex is wide receiver 70. Josh, 70.
That's crazy.
Right? Wide receiver 51 and bulletproof ADP. He's going equidistant between the 208 and the 209. Now, would I pay the 208 or 209 for Alec Pierce straight up? I would think about it. But chances are I would be able to get away with not doing that, just looking at what the market thinks of him. The idea of 208 and 209, the reason I wouldn't do it right now is I think there still might be a running back or two in that back end of the second round, or, you know, maybe Dalton Kincaid or something like that I might like, you know, more than Alec Pierce. But when I look at some of these trades, right, I would send Mike Williams of the Chargers for Alec Pierce in the 311. I'd do it. I would, personally. Chark for Pierce, straight up, I would do, yeah. Personally. The 208, that's right on the borderline. I might. But look at this one. I sent Christian Watson, who I'm high on, for Pierce in the 111, right? So my line for Watson is right around the 108-ish, right? So essentially, I'm getting Alec Pierce to drop down three spots, roughly, right? That's something I might do.
Yeah.
I can send 223 seconds and get Pierce, Rashid Shaheed, and 2/4. Yeah, I do that because I happen to think there's a good chance that Shaheed hits pretty well this year too. Again, that's close, but he is a guy that, depending if you're in a league where the Pierce manager has wide receiver depth, you know, and Pierce is like their wide receiver 5, you know. And they think of him more as the wide receiver 55 or the 59, like you see here. Chances are you could probably get him for a reasonable price. And I think the value is going to bump up when they get a competent quarterback with the new coach's system. I don't think he's going to be hurt really by the draft. So go buy yourself some Alec Pierce.
Yeah, no, I agree. And actually, I haven't made very many trades this offseason. I have a bunch of pending trades. I think one from you sitting on my sleeper, probably 8 of them. But one I did do 9 days ago, I turned Justin Ross and a 4th into a 24-3rd and a 312 and 23. And then just flipped a 312 for Alec Pierce. So I basically...
What? 312?
Yep.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So I basically just flipped Justin Ross in a 4th and got a 24-3rd and Alec Pierce. So yeah, I definitely go buy him. I have him low. I think I have him 45, 46. So I'm not too far behind you. Mm-hmm. And I think the injury just kind of hurt. He was starting to pick up momentum, starting to get a lot of looks, and he just got hurt. So I like that.
Yeah. Who's next on your list?
I'm going to go Dante Foreman.
Yes.
And I have him at 35. I have him well above market. KTC has him at 54. Yeah. DLF at 48. Fantasy Pros at 46. So he's shifting into the David Montgomery role. I think he's more big playability than David Montgomery. I'm getting that right. He's on the Bears now, right?
Foreman? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've had such bad brain fog this week. I just want to make sure before I start talking that I'm not. But I don't think he's better than Montgomery, but I think he brings things that Montgomery doesn't bring. I think he has more big playability, mobility, break out long runs. And I think he's going to step right into the role. I think they want to use a committee. So I don't know if people are expecting Khalil to come in and be the guy, and Foreman's going to back him up. But I think, from what I've seen, the coaches are just going to continue to run Justin Fields a decent bit and then continue to do a committee. And I think Foreman will be a lead back for the around the goal line. So I really like that, and I'm way above market on him, and I've been getting him quite a bit in startups this offseason.
What would you do as far as price goes?
Ooh, let me see. Ooh, there's some interesting ones down here. Foreman for a 24-3rd, easily. Like I said, I undervalue 24 picks more than I should. I'm working on that, but I would easily send off a 24 third. Honestly, I'd go up to a 24 second. I don't know if I'd give up much more than that.
Right. Yeah.
And then 23, maybe late second, early third, because there is still some question marks. You know, I do think Khalil Herbert's a better running back. I just don't see them making him the guy there.
Yeah, he seems to be, as far as like where he goes with ADP and stuff like that, or you know the rankings and stuff, right around an early third, or like a if it's a second round, it would be a 2026 second.
Yeah, I'm not 26. Yeah. Like I'm not even looking that far. Right. I should, but I'm not. Like that's.
But
just...
so he's gettable, and I agree with you that you know while Herbert is explosive, I expect there to be a pretty rotational situation there. I know a lot of people are putting a running back to the Bears in their NFL draft predictions. I'm not so sure. I think by bringing in Foreman and having Herbert, they kind of said, listen, these are going to be sort of our two down type of guys. Mm-hmm. We're going to rotate them in some sort of way. You know, it might be 60-40 one week and 40-60 the other week, whatever, right? And, you know, we have Homer for pass pro and pass catching. And I think if they do add somebody in the draft, it's either going to be a real late pick as depth, or more of a pass catcher that doesn't really eat into the type of plays that Foreman and Herbert will be used for. So yeah, I think Foreman is definitely a good buy for sure.
Yeah, I only think they want to stay with the committee because they went out and got Foreman. If they wanted Herbert to be the guy, I think they would then spend the draft capital on a rookie and kind of let him sit behind Herbert. But I think they're planning on 1A, 1B, and Foreman's the better goal line back. So I think he'll get more of the close touches.
What about this?
That Justin Fields doesn't.
Carson Wentz, a 24 second and a 24 third for Foreman and Ingram.
Ooh, yeah. I think I'm doing that because hopefully Wentz isn't one of your starters. Hopefully it's just a bench piece.
He's jobless at the moment, you know?
Yeah, but I have one dynasty team in particular where I right now do not have a second quarterback. So it's one I took over, just to be clear. I did not set myself up. It's one I took over last year, and it was in a bad spot. Still is. But, yeah, I think I would take the Foreman and Ingram side on that one, and I would give up those picks and Wentz for that.
So I guess I'll go with a running back as well. It was interesting. I was kind of surprised that two out of my five buys were running backs in April, but here we are, right? Yeah, so Alexander Mattison, the tea leaves all seem to point to Dalvin Cook is on his way out one way or another, whether it's a trade during the 3 days of the draft or whether it's a post-June 1st cut or whatever it is, it looks like he's gone. Right. He's refusing to take a pay cut. You know, the article in The Athletic a couple days ago pretty much said he's Gonski. So I'm trying to get Madison on a pretty speculative buy in ways that are affordable, although this one kind of falls under the, well, some people are kind of hip to the Cook situation. So it's not quite as cheap or easy as I'd like it to be. So. Just for reference, I have him ranked RB31 without the rookies piled in. He's in a tier of 24 to 32. KTC with the rookies, 36. Dynasty Trade Calculator, 52. Fantasy Calc, 34. So I'm above market. Fantasy Pros at 38. DLF at 42. DLF ADP. The drafters are taking him at running back 45. Bulletproof is a little closer to me at 34, but you can get him in the 13th round of a startup right around where the 207 is going. I'd roll the dice on 207 on Madison because I feel so strongly that Cook will be gone. Now, I think it should be noted that if Cook is gone, I don't think Madison is like elite. Right. He's flashed well when subbing for Cook. But I think the story of Alexander Mattison, his reputation, I think is kind of outsized like what he actually does and will do with a steadier workload. It should also be noted that one thing that happened with Dalvin Cook last year, besides aging, injuries, etc., was that the Vikings increased their pass volume. So you'd be looking for Madison to not really, you know, get a workhorse carries. You'd want him to get mixed in to the passing game. So I'm sending a late second for him. I'm trying to make, you know, certain, like, I'd send a 24 second for him. I'm trying to get him in a way that is, now if the person you're trading with, if they're handcuffing him with Cook, chances are you're not going to get him.
Yep.
Right. But if they're not rostering him as a Cook handcuff, he's probably a little more gettable. So I want to highlight one for you. So on April 17th, right? Sending Godwin, Pierre Strong, and a 24 third for Madison, a 24 second, and a 25 third.
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
It would be letter D under the Madison trades. Yeah.
Honestly, I think I would take the Godwin side, and that's just because I like Pierre Strong more than a lot of people do.
And I don't. And that's a trade that I made. And I will admit, I probably overpaid as far as current market value goes. But for me, that's more of like a like. I think this is going to look better in a couple months than it does now, because I also think the quarterback situation in Tampa is trash.
Yep.
And I'm not really counting on Godwin or Mike Evans to have typical Godwin or Mike Evans years this year. Yep. And I also don't like Strong almost at all. I think the team does, right? So I respect that when I think about like his value and my rankings and things like that, but I'm not a huge fan. So for me, I did think I overpaid a little bit based on current value, but I think it'll look better. But some of these other trades, a 24 second and a 24 third, sure. You know, sending Brock Purdy for Madison in the 207, I might do that. Yep.
One depends on the quarterback situation. But yeah.
So, I mean, you know, Jimmy G for Madison, the 207, 307, and 407. Jeez.
Yeah, right? I would do that one pretty quickly.
Like, I know like the idea of like, oh, it's four things, it's three picks, it looks like a lot, but two of them are third and a fourth. Yeah, but the other side is Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Right. So like,
I expected to see other picks on that side. I thought you just accidentally left something off but.
Which listen, I don't wanna like he's a starting quarterback, super flex economy. Like, I get it, but we don't like the coaching there. The contract is structured as such that like they could easily take Will Levis at seven or whatever, Hendon Hooker in the second round or something like that. And Jimmy G's expiration date is a little sooner than we think. He's never really finished a year healthy. Like, you know, so like let's put that in perspective. So yeah, Alexander Mattison, the cat's out of the bag a little bit with Dalvin Cook, so it might be harder to get than some of these other buys that I've recommended tonight. But he's somebody I'm actively trying to get.
Yeah, I think for that one, a lot will tell on the NFL draft. I don't know what kind of picks the Vikings have, but if they go and get a running back in the top three rounds, it might change my opinion on Madison a little bit. But if they don't, then
here's why I think he's okay with the draft and why he's on my list. Right, I don't put it past them to do a running back because, in fact, Cook is probably leaving. Right, but they have already in tow Madison and Chandler. Right. And I know Ty Chandler isn't a world beater, but it has a well-rounded, you know, skill set and is a serviceable backup. Plus they have Kenny Nwangwu, who's, you know, largely has a special teams role, but, you know, has made some big plays as a running back. So for me personally, I wouldn't put it past them to get a running back in the draft, but I don't think it's going to be anybody of note. I don't think they're going to spend day two capital on one. So yeah. if I see whatever, like Deuce Vaughn in the sixth or like Evan Hull in the fifth or like, I don't really care. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I agree. I think I'm just slightly lower. I have Madison, I think almost 40. So not a ton. I'm still higher than a lot of people, but definitely a little bit lower than you are.
Yeah. I think the idea of I'm anticipating him being the 1A there soon mm-hmm. is kind of baked into my ranking of 31. Yeah.
No, I understand. You want to get ahead of the curve and try and get them while you can before other people catch on. So, yeah, I'll jump on to my next one. this is the last one, right? Yeah, so I did two tight ends, which is like weird for you doing running backs. It's weird for me because tight end, if I don't get Kelce, Andrews, or Pitts, I usually wait pretty long and take guys like Njoku types, like guys I'm talking about now, Juwan Johnson. I'm going to talk about Juwan Johnson. I have him ranked 16th in tight ends, so I'm above market on him. Keep trade cut has him at 25, equal to 23 mid-third. Fantasy Pros, 22, and DLF, 28. So I'm a good six spots ahead of some of them. And a lot of it is he showed really good big playability with Andy Dalton as his quarterback of all people. So I think if you can look good under Andy Dalton, I think you're a pretty good player. And he was top five in yards per reception at 12 yards, and he had 7 touchdowns. So he showed a knack for finding the end zone. He's only 26, I believe, so he's still pretty young. When I first saw him popping onto the scene, I thought he was in his 30s. So he's still younger, I think, than a lot of people think. And as much as I hate the Saints, I think their offense is going to be pretty good. They got some big play guys with Shaheed, Olave, and now Juwan Johnson. So I think he's going to help them stretch the field, and I think he's going to approach 800 yards and a chance for 7 or 8 touchdowns again. So I'm going to go ahead and buy him before people catch up on him. Where do you have Juwan Johnson?
Yeah, so I'm probably above market on him too. I've noticed that it kind of varies from league to league. Like, you either have people who are like high on him and see like the upside and are willing to give up like a mid second for him, or you have people that value him a little closer to these early thirds that we're seeing. Let's see, I have Juwan Johnson at 16, just like you do. He's right in between Chig and Jelani. Yep. In a tier of 13 to 19, so I'm probably willing to buy him as well, like you are. I mean, Carr's coming in. Jamal Williams, I think, provides some stability there as well.
Yep.
We have,
I think,
him.
That offense is going to be sneaky good.
Right. What in a tight end premium? The trade finders don't indicate tight end premium or not, yep, which is why I didn't put any trades in here.
Yeah.
But we're seeing here, I don't know, the 303, a 26 second that we love, the 208, a mid third. What's the general price you're looking to pay for Juwan Johnson?
I think I would give all those. If I was trying to get him, I'd sell a 23 mid third. I'd sell the 208. If I even had a 26 second pick, I'd give that up too. So I think all these I would do. I think it would cut it off around 208 is pretty close. Around 205 is where I would probably cut it off. Especially in a tight end premium, that's a point or above a point. If it's half a point, I might drop it down to around 208 to 210, maybe 211. Right.
Well, speaking of tight ends, Julia brings up a question in the chat here asking us, Kincaid versus Myers, you know, how do we evaluate their skill sets? So do you want to go?
Yeah, I'll just jump it off real quick. I think Kincaid can stretch the field a little bit better. I think he's a little more quicker and faster in open space. But I still think Michael Mayer is the better all-around tight end. I do have him. I don't know if you saw the episodes of Julia, but I do have him. It's closed. The gap closed a lot after the combine and all that. But I still have Mike Mayer number one. And that's just because I think he's going to get more playing time right out of the gate because he can block in line as well as run routes. And, yeah, he's got amazing hands. He's not fast, but he knows how to get open. He's good at his breaks and good at getting separation, or at least he was in college. So I'm kind of interested to see how he does, but I think he's going to have a lot more playing time. Not a lot more, but I think he's going to be in there a lot more because he's a better blocker than Kincaid. But I think, honestly, Kincaid might have the higher upside. So Mayer's more of a floor. Kincaid's more of a ceiling play.
Yeah, I guess I see it pretty similarly. I happen to have Kincaid as the rookie tight end one. So with rookie drafts and tight ends, you know, I want to not spend the high draft capital on the Kincaids and the Mayers and the Washingtons, but in order to have a couple shares of each, I might, yep, here and there. I want to spend the thirds and fourths on Laporta and Musgrave and Schoonmaker, yep, and Mallory and Kuntz and Kraft. Those are the guys I want to scoop up in the third and fourth and fifth rounds. When it comes to acquisition cost versus value increase versus, you know, like rookie tight ends taking a while to develop, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. All that said, though, right, for Julia's question, Gimme Kincaid. And I'm going to say pretty easily, but not pretty easily because I think there's a far gap in sort of skill sets or anything like that. You know, if I'm going to be asked to spend a late first or early second on a tight end in a rookie draft, don't give me Vanilla.
Yep.
Don't give me Michael Mayer. Don't give me the safe floor guy.
Give me Kyle Pitts, Brock Bowers.
Give me a guy who has a chance to be a positional advantage, mm-hmm. a difference maker at tight end. And I think there's really one guy in the class who has that chance, and that's Dalton Kincaid, right? I think I happen to lean into the optimistic side of Darnell Washington, and I have him above Mayer. So, like, I was on an episode with the fantasy coaches the other day doing tight ends. And I said, listen, you know, don't give me Vanilla. Give me Peanut Butter Fudge or Rocky Road, right? And so Dalton Kincaid's Rocky Road, you know, I just look at Darnell Washington. I just think Peanut Butter Fudge. And then, you know, and then there's Mayer, who's Vanilla, who, you know, we know what we're getting. It's a pretty safe floor. He's well-rounded. But what's the ceiling on that, right? Like, not that you should always lean into ceiling, but if you're asking me to spend high draft capital on a tight end, give me ceiling.
I think that, and this was me being a little overly optimistic. I think a Jason Witten outcome is not unheard of, and not just for his measurements, just because he's slow. You know, how does he get open? But he was always open and catches the ball anytime it's around him. And that's what Mayer does. So, yeah. But I agree what you mean. I probably won't have very many shares of both just because, like you said, I'm not getting a tight end until the third or fourth round in most of my rookie drafts. So,
Jamie checking in, telling us that AJ Brown has chimed in and endorsed the Derrick Henry trade. The rumors, but yeah, I don't believe that happening.
As a penny truther, I'll be so mad. I love Rashad Penny. I almost put him on a bye, but I felt like I would be doing people injustice just because all it takes is one twisted ankle and he's out for the year. So
yeah,
but by Rashad Penny, I am.
Okay, so I'm gonna do my last one, and that's my boy Trey Lance. So, let's think about the range of outcomes for Trey Lance, right? He stays on the 49ers. Brock Purdy doesn't start the year. He beats out Sam Darnold in camp. That's one possible outcome. He's the starter, right? He stays on the 49ers. Purdy, even when healthy, can't push him because Lance has better talent and he's improved. And he's the starter. That's a good outcome for Trey Lance. The 49ers, who are, we hear, supposedly taking phone calls on Trey Lance, trade Trey Lance. He becomes the starter somewhere. I don't know, Tennessee, you know, Atlanta, I don't know, whatever, right? Like, that's a good outcome for Trey Lance, right? Really, the bad outcomes are he sits there somehow as the quarterback 3, right? Or, he loses the job to Purdy and you know what I mean? Like there's not too many bad outcomes for Trey Lance in all this. And listen, both these things can be true, right? Was Trey Lance a slightly risky profile coming out of college? You know, FCS, only 15 starts. Of course, right? That is true. But if you're somebody who is fading Lance then, you don't get to victory lap, and I told you so yet, right? Because Trey Lance has never gotten the audition that he deserves to show us whether or not you were right in fading him, yep. Right? Purdy's emergence happened during a Trey Lance injury, and because while giving Purdy credit to being coachable and improving, right? He's a plug-and-play quarterback in the offensive system that was carried by the team, right? And is boosting Shanahan's ego. That's not that Trey Lance lost the job.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so let's get all this straight to begin with, right? So I have him ranked quarterback 13. He's in a tier of 11 to 13 with Dak and Tua, all right? Keep Trey cut with the rookies in 17, but still equivalent to a 24 mid first or a 23 late first. Dynasty trade calculator, quarterback 21, equivalent to the 108. Fantasy calc, quarterback 17, equivalent to the 107, etc. The ADP in DLF has him at 18. Bulletproof ADP has him at 14, but still equal to the 107, et cetera, et cetera. I'm buying Lance. He's somebody who I'm buying because the cost, even if it's a late first, right, is worth it. I think because the payoff is, you know, really good starting quarterback with rushing prowess in a super flex economy. Like, if you're, put it this way, if you're willing, if you're sitting at 109 and you're willing to take a chance on Will Levis, you should be willing to pay that 109 to get Trey Lance.
Yep.
Period. Yep. End of story. Right. And so I sent the 107 and 307 for him a few moons ago, maybe a slight overpay relative to market because I had to sprinkle in the third to get the guy to do it. But you can, you can move Daniel Jones and get Lance and Claypool back. Like, I have Daniel Jones below Lance, so yep, I can get a plus on top of that, even if that plus just happens to be Claypool. Sure. Look at this one, April 7th, Lance for the 208 and the 210. I will drive the 208 and 210 to your house to give them to you to give me Trey Lance. If I move Kyler, who is undervalued and I love, and Jacoby friggin' Brissett, I can get Lance and Russ Wilson on April 10th, right? Lance for the 111 straight up, Lance for Pacheco and Wandale. Like, what are these people doing? Give me Trey Lance. And I'll end with this one before we get to your trade, right? Actually, two more, right?
Yeah.
I can move Pickens and Kyle Trask for Lance and Jamal Williams. Sign me up. I can move a 24.
God, I hate Pickens. I'm doing that in a heartbeat.
Right. You know, I can move a 24 first, second, and fourth for Lance and Etienne.
Yeah.
What? Like, I'm like,
that one's crazy to me.
I have WAP right
That's
now.
That's the craziest one to
I'm
me.
I'm not even a big Etienne fan, right? So,
yeah,
Tell me about the Lance trade that you were,
okay,
you were talking
so
about.
In this, it's a league I took over. It's with a bunch of guys on Twitter, and David Galtieri, he's pretty big on Twitter, always making trades. He sent me, and I have Allen, he sent me DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift, and Trey Lance for Josh Allen.
Say it again.
DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift, and Trey Lance for Josh Allen.
That's light, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't take that. As much as I like Lance.
Okay, I was just making sure because I looked at it.
I'm a Swifter too.
It's
yeah,
still
I'm...
question marks for me though, you know, for Josh Allen. I was like, yeah. I denied it. I didn't send a counter yet. I messaged him and said I'd revisit this in a week or two after the draft. But I am of the ilk that if Trey Lance goes anywhere else, I'm knocking him down a few spots just because I think San Francisco is the most ideal place for a quarterback to play. But Tennessee and Atlanta are two that I don't move them down a ton, but I still will a little bit because it's a downgrade in coaching and weapons.
It is, but also,
anywhere else, I'm with everyone else.
But Kyle Shanahan doesn't want Trey Lance as a quarterback. He wants a Purdy that you just plug into a West Coast dink and dunk, right? Yep. So, like, in some ways, I think I know this kind of sounds weird, but Shanahan might handcuff him, might clip his wings. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
whereas another coach might let him go. Mm-hmm. So Julia is asking me to compare Trey Lance to Richardson.
We don't have time. like you did with the Falcons, I'll just sign off and catch y'all in 40 minutes.
Yeah. No, I love Richardson. They do compare, though, because of, you know, rushing prowess and only 15 starts and things like that. And I would say they're as highly regarded, it seems, in the NFL. I would give the edge to Richardson.
Yeah.
I think he's bigger. He's played in the SEC. I think he has a better arm. So, yeah.
I agree with you.
All right. Yeah. So that just about does it for our pre-NFL draft buys. So go get you some Alec Pierce, Matthew Stafford, Antonio Gibson, 2024 firsts, Trey Lance, Alexander Mattison, Donta Foreman, Deontay Johnson, Juwan Johnson, Kyle Pitts, and Wandale Robinson. All right. So goingfor2.com is the website, and we have all sorts of stuff for you. Redraft, DFS, other sports, You know, obviously Dynasty rookie rankings. Just go to goingfor2.com in the little bottom right. There's a little purple thing for the Discord. Hop on the free Discord. There's hella channels. Our show has a channel. You can talk about trades and argue with Tom about running backs. Please make sure that you subscribe, rate, and review on the audio podcast feed. Jamie in the chat saying, great show, fellas. Thank you. Please make sure that you subscribe, do some likes, and yeah, and turn on the notifications for the YouTube channel. Going for Two, thank you for the reminder, Josh, has you covered for draft 3 days, right? On Thursday night, starting at 8 o'clock, our flagship show, the Armchair Show, right, with Jeff and Ryan Searfoss. They're going to anchor at 8. We're going to take over at 9, and Gladys and Jay and the Mountain and West Coasters are taking over at 10. Night 2, I forget who is doing it, but we're going to be on for night 2 from 7 all the way into the end of the night. And then on Saturday, the Gambit guys, Gator and Kyle and them, they're doing a daytime shift. So we have all 3 days here covered for the NFL draft. If you want to catch me on Friday, I'll be on the Dynasty War Games feed that night with my co-host Jesse from Dynasty Fever, which is part of my plugs, FFJunkie_ on Twitter, goingfor2.com for rankings and articles, Dynasty Fever podcast at Dynasty Fever Pod, and had 2 articles drop on goingfor2.com. One is rookies I'm not okay being wrong about, and then the one that dropped today is rookies I'm okay being wrong about, including Anthony Richardson. Josh, where can we find you and your work?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Rotonaut, either bitching about the Falcons or talking about how much better the Braves are than the Mets. There, you can find all my rankings at goingfor2.com. If I could get my mental health and ADHD in check, I'll finally finish my Josh Downs player profile. So I'm hoping to have that done by Monday. So you can find that on goingfor2.com.
ADHD, represent.
Yep.
We are legion. We are out there. Wait, what? Squirrel? Okay. So, yeah, as Jamie's reminding us, Fantasy Cheat Sheet, the guys from Tuesday are doing Friday night after Gladys. So that should be fun, too. Yep. I wonder if that's going to fit with B-League's Aussie time zone. I wonder what that's going to be like. Hey, oi, oi, oi.
Yeah, check in at 9, and we can bet over-unders on how many players Brian is unfamiliar with that are on defense, which he's admitted to. I wouldn't just say this without you saying it first.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, seeing all these mocks and people talk about like team needs and things like that, I'm getting a little more familiar with them, you know, even a few offensive linemen, but chances are like I'm going to need other people to help me on that one. Like actually we're probably going to have Jerry on to talk a little bit about the defensive players. Yeah.
Perfect.
So and I think Jesse from Fever might hop in too. Talk a little bit. So yeah, you know, Going for Two's got you covered. We got a podcast pretty much every night of the week. We got drafts all 3 nights covered. And Josh and I are going to do a double next week, we think, and also be on for our regular shift Saturday for sort of a post-draft debrief and see what rookies, you know, our hearts were broken because they went in the 5th round instead of the 3rd and all that. So, that's a wrap. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.
Go Irish.
All right.